Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is episode 358. I hope you're having a great week, getting a chance to do something fun and creative out there. I also hope that you are continuing to stay safe and your family stays safe and sound in our little crazy world we're in these days. This week, I wanted to talk about something a friend of mine brought to my attention, and it was an interesting exercise for journaling and dealing with kind of starting your day out. And I'm a big believer in the power of journaling and writing things down. I think the written language is an important element for creative people. And even if you're not a great writer, I'm not necessarily a great writer, but I do think writing things down is important. That language gives us a different lens to think about our work and think about our photography in a different way to articulate what our photography is about. Gives us a chance to potentially explain what we mean in our photography, again, through a different language. We have the visual language of photography and then the verbal language and the written language. And so those two contexts kind of provide two different entry points to the experience of the photograph. So the idea of writing, I think is really important in the creative process. Journaling, daily journaling, I think is important. It kind of gets our thoughts out. And a lot of times, I think what's important about a daily journal, a daily writing, is it's where a lot of our demons can sort of get exercised. You know, those negative thoughts that pop up, if we can kind of get them out onto a piece of paper, they can disappear. They can kind of recede back into the background so that when we do pick up the camera, when we do start working on editing our photographs, we're left with one less barrier to jump over because we've been able to leave some of that negativity on the paper. The exercise my friend talked about in the day-to-day journaling that I thought was so interesting was starting off with writing about how you actually are. And I think this is common in journaling, just kind of, this is where I am at today sort of thing. So how are you feeling today? Today, I'm feeling a little angry because last night, the TV show I was watching, the internet stopped and I didn't get to see how it finished. Or I woke up tired today because I had some bad dreams last night and I'm just feeling exhausted. Or I'm feeling a little bit stressed out because of some concerns I have about XYZ. Or today's a great day. The sun was up. I got to listen to the birds. It was a really great morning. I'm really feeling good today. Whatever it is, you just kind of write, you know, how you are in that moment. And I think a lot of us who do write down things and journal, that's what we write about, kind of the state of where we're at. But the piece he added into his daily routine and his journaling was, what does he want to be, or how does he want to be that day? And this was the interesting thing that really got me sort of excited about returning to this notion of journaling and setting an intention and setting a positive take on what's going on. So even if you're having a good experience, the sun was up, the birds were chirping, what do you want that day to be about? What do you want your mental state, your mental health, your mental well-being, your physical well-being? What do you want out of the experience for that day? And I think it's important to, again, write that down because it becomes much more actionable once it's written down. And so we have then written down, kind of in a little bubble, the state of where we're at and the state of where we want to be. And for just general life, I think that's a really great way to, again, recontextualize through language what is going on. A way to set up how do we want to put our best foot forward in our day-to-day actions. And the reason I thought that was so interesting is it covers both sides of the equation. And as I got to thinking a lot about going out and photographing, or I got to think about working in the digital darkroom or the analog darkroom, the idea of acknowledging where we're at and where we want to be, I think, are important. So going out to, say, take some photographs. And say, like, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to take photographs of, it's a foggy morning and I want to go get the fog in the forest. And I think I'm going to get some great photographs. So I get all excited about going out and doing those photographs. I think it's important to, one, acknowledge what I want from those photographs. What is my desire for those photographs? But I also think it's important to acknowledge, what am I right now in my approach to those photographs? What is my mindset going in? Am I positive, upbeat? Am I sort of moody? Am I melancholy? Am I sad? And then how does that impact what I want. So that way we're going in knowing sort of where we are as a person and ultimately what can happen with those photographs. And I think that's important because one of the things I think that can happen to us when we're out photographing or we're editing is we end up with a misalignment of expectation, perception of expectation, and desired outcomes. So as we find a way to get all of those things sort of in an alignment before we head out, before the day starts, so to speak, I think we end up in a much stronger position to be satisfied with the work outcome, with the creative process that we're going through. We're no longer disappointed that we went out and didn't acknowledge our own state or well-being and how that might impact the work. And at the same time, we don't get impacted by the work without the opportunity to allow ourselves to lift out of that space into what we ultimately want the experience to be. Without knowing where we're going, without knowing what the ultimate in-road destination is, sometimes it's hard to produce the work. Now, I'm not saying that we need to plan every photograph, every shot to the nth degree. You know, part of photography, I think, is the adventure and the undiscovered journey that we all get on. But being able to recognize that in our internal controls, in our internal way of thinking, we do have an impact on how we might respond to the things we see. So even if you say, I'm in a negative space today, I woke up, I'm in a bad mood, but I'm still going to go out and shoot. And what I want is to be open to new experiences. I want to be open to seeing things I haven't seen before. Then when we go on our walk, we can carry that intention forward, that want forward. And even though, again, that undercurrent sits there, a new opportunity is formed. And the reason I think that's so important also is because sometimes where we're at is not in a spot that wants to pick up the camera, that not doesn't want to go out and do some work, doesn't want to go out and try something new. And how do we motivate ourselves to do that? I think part of that is recognizing that that want is of equal weight to how I feel, that those are equal in size, equal in structure, equal in impact for what we do. So combining those two things by acknowledging both, I think puts us in a much stronger position to go out and create interesting things within our photography. I think the same approach, even at a smaller scale, works when we're talking about editing. You know, looking at a photograph, what do I have? What do I want? Where is that photograph now? Where is that photograph when it's edited? So by acknowledging that there are oftentimes two points, two perspectives, sometimes there's probably three, four, five perspectives, but at a minimum, we've got, you know, both sides of that equation need to be in balance so that we ultimately get the photograph we want. So even at a small scale, by looking at the photograph and thinking objectively about what do I have, where am I with this photograph today, and then where do I want to take it? That might lead you into the direction of black and white versus color, high saturation versus muted saturation. Maybe it's a composite, maybe it's something else. Who knows where you take that photograph? But we end up with this idea that by imagining what's possible, we end up in a much stronger position creatively to approach that work. Finally, I think it gives us an interesting opportunity as we approach the language when we talk about somebody else's work. We get the notion and the idea that when we talk about somebody else's work and we break it down into what was there, and what did you want as a photographer? As an inquiry, I think is also interesting in the critique. And so to be able to say, you know, this is my reaction to the photograph. This is what I see in the photograph. This is how I read and understand that photograph. And if the photographer is present, to be able to say, and what did you want that experience to be when looking at the photograph? You know, again, it opens up a conversation in an interesting way. It allows for the language, the verbal language, to start to mirror back the visual language so that we can have a conversation about have versus want. At the same time, it allows you as the photographer who's doing the critique to really think long and hard about want, and an edit for you is not necessarily the right critique to give. So the question of what do I want in the photograph is not necessarily turning it into my photograph, But the idea of what do I want in the photograph to make the composition stronger, to make this narrative stronger, to make the edit more interesting or more useful, I think is an interesting context to think about things in, because so much of giving feedback and critique is making sure that the other person can hear that feedback, can listen to that feedback and acknowledge that feedback as something that might be plausible and useful. So again, by looking at multiple points of entry into that language, I think might allow for a much better discourse to happen when we talk about and communicate with various other people we are dealing with in our creative practice. So hopefully that gives you something to think about as you're out there working or doing your daily journals. Think about those two sides of the equation. Like I said, after talking to my friend, it's kind of made a big difference for me in just sort of tackling the day and tackling some of the creative projects that I'm trying to get under my belt. I hope you're having a great start to 2022. I really do appreciate you listening to the podcast, no matter what podcast platform you're on. I do appreciate the little bit of time you give me each week to listen to some of the random rantings, amusements, and stories that I tell. So thanks again for doing that. I really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful week behind the camera, and I'll see you next time.